Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to read a. When in fact is a meditation, but you can kneel or sit for this. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed art thou, Jesus. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. The words of Our Lady of Fatima. To save sinners, God wants to establish in the world the devotion to my Immaculate Heart. I promise salvation to those who embrace it, and their souls will be loved by God as flowers placed by myself to adorn his throne. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God. Say the Rosary every day in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary to obtain peace for the world, for only she can obtain it. I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia by the Pope and bishops of the world to my Immaculate Heart in the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded and practiced, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, Russia shall spread her errors throughout the world, promoting wars and persecutions of the Church. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, which will be converted, and a period of peace will be given to the world. People must amend their lives and ask pardon for their sins. They must not offend our Lord anymore, for he is already too much offended. If people do what I tell you, many souls will be saved, and there will be peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Not too long ago, I was talking to someone on the phone, and I mentioned to them here in this parish that either myself or somebody I knew was experiencing a lot of crosses that day. And his reply was, well, somebody must need a lot of graces. In fact, I'm going to add to that. In preparing for this talk and trying to be on time, I think I set a record. In all the years I've given talks as a priest, I've never had so many little, continual, small crosses, contradictions, interruptions. So I guess God wanted to set a record today. Maybe someone here in this retreat needs some special graces. So I offered up my crosses for the graces they need, or you need, or anybody else needs. The reason I begin this talk with that little story is because back in the 1970s, when our parish was quite small, in a, really a community, many families moved here from all parts of the country. We had no priest at all at that time. I was one of the, I think, six brothers at that time in our congregation. But in the 1970s, and probably early 1980s too, the spirit of our small congregation, community, and parish was the spirit of Fatima, the message of Fatima. Whenever Father Dennis went on a speaking tour around the country, talk about the message of Fatima and the changes in the church, people would literally come into either as a family or in church. They would pray a daily rosary for God's blessings upon Father Dennis's talks to convert Catholics back to the traditional Catholic faith. And when somebody experienced, as I just explained, some type of maybe a bigger cross than usual, or a lot of small ones like I just did today, they offered it up for the conversion of sinners and for, as I just said, grace is needed by Father Dennis to bring souls back to the traditional faith through his talks. One of the messages of Our Lady of Fatima, which I actually forgot to read to you, is the following. She said this to the children: "Do you want to offer yourselves to God to endure all the sufferings that he may send you as an act of reparation for the sins by which he is offended, and as a prayer for the conversion of sinners?" And after showing the children souls literally in hell, with the demons looking, devils looking like weird animals, she said to them and to us, "Sacrifice yourself for sinners and say often, especially when you make some sacrifice, 'O my Jesus, it is for love of thee, in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and for the conversion of poor sinners.'" I can admit myself how this message affected me. I was 24 years of age just a few years ago when I came here. And I came from California, and I grew up in the 50s and early 60s. And back then, I hate to say this, being a Catholic in my mind was going to church on Sunday, of course, not eating meat on Friday, and going to Catholic school. But that was it. Even through my high school years, I was taught 14 years by a certain congregation of nuns, but never was I ever inspired, exhorted by a priest or a nun to do anything for the salvation of souls. When I came here, by incredible act of God's providence in 1970, and I heard the message of Fatima, it was like a war cry. The first time in my life, I realized I could save souls. Not just nuns and priests, but at that time I was just a layman, then became a religious brother. And I, like many, I'd say others at that time in our community or parish in Coeur d'Alene, but me especially, because I did become a brother, as I just said, I would say, I guess, I kind of went to the extreme from, in one sense. I remember one time we went on an outing as the brothers, and we went swimming in the river in the month of May, and the water was really cold because it was it was thawing out and melting in the mountains coming down to the lower ground. And I was in there swimming, and it was cold, and I had poor blood circulation. But I thought to myself, well, Our Lady of Fatima said, offer up sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. So I forced myself to stay in the river a little longer. Well, the next thing I became conscious of was that I was on a table in a cabin with blankets all over me. I had got hypothermia and became unconscious. It must happen as I get out of the river. I must have fell down on the shore, but due to poor blood circulation, I went unconscious. But I did that because I wanted to save souls. I personally don't think, I think that is extreme, I know, but I'm going to say this. Over the years, even myself, and members in our parish, and even City of Mary, I believe, probably, we've lost the spirit of the first. We were called Fatima Crusaders back then, back in the 70s, even late 60s. And that spirit of sacrifice, the salvation of souls, the spirit of willingness to suffer, sacrifice, and even pray long periods of time, the rosary, for the salvation of souls, I really don't think we have that spirit anymore. And of course, many of us are a lot older now, and as you get older, you don't have the get up and go you had when you were younger, and the knees hurt when you kneel down, and other aches and pains, and your stamina just isn't there. But the need for salvation of souls is now greater, much greater than it was in the 1960s and 70s. I didn't think things could get worse back in the 1970s, but they're a hundredfold worse now morally in our country and world. Father Cepeda, a young priest, just ordained a few years ago, I heard a sermon he gave recently on YouTube, and he was pointing out how we individually, as Catholics in the seat of grace, we have an obligation, a duty, to make reparation, not just for our own sins, now hopefully less in purgatory, but for the national sins of our country, abortion, contraception, transgender movement, homosexuality, divorce and remarriage, on and on. Now, why is that? Well, he gave an example. At the boys' camp that he had, he made certain boys were leaving garbage around the campground. So as a punishment, he made all the boys, not just the ones who were guilty, he made all the boys do a number of push-ups, quite a few, as a matter of fact. And he explained, well, why not? Because other boys in the camp saw the garbage sitting there. They could have, and should have in some cases, picked up that garbage and put it in the way in a garbage can, but they didn't. How many of us, in some point in our lives, we all guilty of this, we see, hear, or witness something that's immoral, that offends God, even someone using God's name in vain, for example, and we don't say anything. We let it go on. I remember years ago hearing about a woman, a mother of a family. She was watching what she thought was a family TV program, and it was sponsored by Coca-Cola back then. And to her surprise, something was quite obscene and immoral, what came up on the screen. And she actually wrote a letter to the CEO or president of Coca-Cola and complained about that. And Coca-Cola actually withdrew their sponsorship. And that was back in the 80s, I think. Today, probably a few corporations would do that. But nevertheless, the point is that mother was offended, her children probably was watching the program with her, to see that come on the screen, and she did something about it. So we have an obligation in our lives as Catholics, and knowing the message of Fatima, to offer up more sacrifices, and I might add our Blessed Mother at Fatima, plus Angel of Portugal at Fatima, who appeared to the children. They both said, above all, accept the suffering that God sends you in reparation for the sins that offend him, and as a prayer for the conversion of sinners. Now, why would Our Lady and the angel say above all, meaning even more than our self-imposed sacrifices of self-denial? That's because, as the spiritual writers and saints tell us, the less self-will, which comes from our pride, is in something we do, that we offer to God, the more merit, the more pleasing to God it is, the more merit we get for our crown in heaven. So when something happens in our life that goes against our own will and desires, or is an annoyance, or requires patience, or resignation, even humiliation, we offer that to God, we are getting more merit for ourselves, as I just said, and even more powerful to obtain graces for others, for their conversion or their release from purgatory. And I'll tell you another story here relating to that. In the book, The Way of Divine Love, the nun who was told to, as I recall, told to write that book in obedience about how our Lord and our Blessed Mother appeared to her often back in the 1920s. One time, she was given a duty by her superior to do the laundry. And she didn't like doing laundry, naturally speaking, at least that day, was inclined to do it. But she made an act of love for God and offered it up without complaining and did the laundry. Well, that evening, our Blessed Mother appeared to her and told her that today a soul has been saved from hell because you offered up that sacrifice of doing your daily duty for love of God, because it was God's will made known through his superior. Our Lord actually appeared to Sister Lucia, who was the oldest of the Fatima children. She became a nun, and years later, our Lord appeared to her. And he said to her that the first penance or act of reparation for sin that he expects of us is offering up our sacrifice of our daily duty, and the sacrifice involved in obeying God's law, which of course includes the laws of the church, like making sure you on Mass and time on Sunday, etc. I'd like to read to you a short quote from a spiritual book called The Spiritual Life by Father Tanqueray, which is a classic book studied by seminarians and priests before Vatican II on the virtue of charity and the importance of acts of charity. And he says here, charity is among the virtues as the sun among the stars. Charity gives to all their brightness and their beauty. Faith, hope, fear, sorrow ordinarily precede charity into the soul, there to prepare its abode. But once love arrives, they obey and minister to it like all other virtues. Charity, by its presence, animates, beautifies, and vivifies them all. In other words, charity, by directing our soul immediately toward God gives the self-same direction and therefore the same worth, to all the other virtues under its sway. Now listen to this. Therefore, an act of obedience or an act of humility, besides having its own proper value and worth, derives from an act of love a far greater worth when done in order to please God. It becomes then an act of charity, an act of the most perfect of all virtues. Let us add that such an act becomes easier and more attractive. To obey and to undergo humiliation is a bitter thing to our proud nature, but this becomes easier once we are conscious that by the performance of such acts, we actually practice the love of God and procure his glory. Out on the stand as you go, a table rather, as you leave, I put two small prayer cards. Each of them have an act of love on the card on one side. Also, you're going to find on the same table a number of other articles in a leaflet called You, the Triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart. So I hope you pick up the articles plus the two small acts of love. On one of the cards, the act of love goes something like this. Oh my Jesus, I do this, or I will obey, be patient, kind, for love of thee. Obedient, patient, and kind on the cross, for love of me. The other card goes something like this. Oh my Jesus, I patiently carry this cross for love of thee, patiently carrying thy cross for love of me, in reparation for my sins. And if you want to add, you can add for the conversion of sinners or the soul suffering in purgatory. To explain that, for example, when you make an act of love as a motive for making some sacrifice in your daily duty or practicing patience or kindness to someone, if you're in the state of grace, not only do you get the merit and the value of an act of patience, kindness, or self-denial, you get also, and even more so, the merit of an act of love of God, the highest virtue there is. And the very purpose which God created us to love him and do his will. So as an example, it's like changing a dollar bill into a $100 bill to put in your bank account for a higher place of happiness in heaven and probably eternity. And if it's painful enough, it requires self-denial enough, taking off perhaps quite a bit of time from purgatory for your past sins. And it, if you offer it for salvation of souls or souls in purgatory, it's helping more some conversion of some sinner or releasing some soul in purgatory. If you're taking the total consecration of Jesus through Mary, then you're giving the value of those acts self-denial as you do your prayers and your sufferings to our Blessed Mother to decide how to use the merit or value of them to help souls in purgatory, convert a sinner, help someone who's dying, save their soul, etc. I also recall a story one time of a nun who was like in a missionary, like in another country, caring for people who are very, very sick, probably people had like leprosy. And there was a newspaper reporter seeing this nun take care of somebody with some ugly sores, etc. And the newspaper reporter, being a secularist, he says something like, "Sister, I wouldn't do that for $1,000. She replied and said, pointing to the crucifix on the wall, "I wouldn't do this for $100,000, but for him, for love of him, I am doing this." I'm sure if you think about your daily life, there are certain duties or relationships or situations that you could say something similar. "I wouldn't do this or deal with this person or be in this situation for $1,000 or $10,000. But if you're living by faith, not by feeling, hopefully you can and will even more so in the future say, "But for love of him, Jesus crucified, I am doing this or am going to do this. Be patient, kind, resigned, offer up this sacrifice." St. Louis de Montfort even says in his book, Friends of the Cross, I think it is, "The thought of Jesus crucified, there is the solution to your every problem, at least moral and spiritual problems, when it comes to practice of virtue." I also put on the table outside the chapel there, among the articles, a morning offering. And the morning offering goes something like this: "O my Jesus, I offer to thee all my thoughts, actions, joys, prayers, and sufferings this day, union with the sacrifice of the Mass, in reparation for my sins, for the countless sins being committed this day, and to hasten the triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart in world peace." Now, why is that important? Because on this leaflet that's out there on that table, on the cover it says, "You and the Triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart." It has a quote from Sister Lucia, who, as most of you know, as I already said, oldest of the Fatima children, became a nun. And she said, quote, "The triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart will arrive when a sufficient number of people, therefore Catholics, have fulfilled the message of Fatima." What that means is that you and I can actually change the course of history. We can hasten an event that is going to occur, because Our Lady of Fatima said that a period of peace would be given to the world after a valid pope consecrates Russia, as she requested, to Her Immaculate Heart with the bishops of the world, and Russia would be converted. Not a lot of details about what that period of peace means, but I have read opinions on that, but I do believe it includes the restoration of the church for a period of years and be recognized by much of the world as the only true religion, and hopefully with a valid pope and valid bishops. That's my opinion. So as I said, you and I, every morning when we get up, we can have a choice to make. We can either choose to live the message of Fatima and be apostles of Mary's Immaculate Heart to hasten, to hurry up this promised world peace and triumph of Her Immaculate Heart and restoration of the church and end of wars. Or we can be indifferent. We can be lazy, we can be selfish, and just choose not to do that, to live that message. I do encourage you, therefore, to there's other prayers, morning and night prayers on that sheet of paper, but I would encourage you at least perhaps to cut out or memorize that morning offering I just read to you and say it every morning. There is also on that table another sheet of paper. On one side, it says, the importance of the family rosary. On the other side, it says, the power of the rosary. Please read that carefully, especially if you are still, families, just husband and wife is a family, but especially if you have children, to be remotivated to, if not daily, often pray the rosary together as a family and with your children. Parents, I do encourage if you have children still growing up, even teenagers, to verbally remind them of the importance and power of offering to God sacrifices and little trials and crosses. When I was growing up back in the 50s, my mom would often say, if we had something to complain about, she would just say, offer it up. And back then, that was actually a Catholic way of life. Parents who were living their faith would often say that to their children, and by good example, do the same. The act of love, Our Lady of Fatima taught us, when she said, make sacrifices for sinners. When we have a sacrifice to make, say, oh my Jesus, it is for love of thee. Reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the conversion of sinners. That can be kind of a long prayer to say sometimes when you're kind of trying to be patient. I often say another prayer when I have something to offer to God. It's, Jesus, Mary, I love thee, save souls, which our Lord himself taught to, I think it was Sister Menendez, in a book titled Jesus Appeals to the World. This nun was, I believe, told by our Lord to write about the message he gave to her. And he said, our Blessed Mother also said something similar to her, that little prayer, especially when added to sacrifice and patient suffering, would save many souls from hell and atone for many blasphemies. It's a good prayer to say to motivate yourself to practice virtue and deny yourself. One of my weaknesses that I have to try to fight against is I've always liked since I was a young man, current events, politics, religion, even sports. And as you know, on a cell phone, you can easily access those current events. And sometimes I tell myself, in fact, I often make a resolution today. I'm not gonna look at or read a minimum amount of time looking at current events. Well, sure enough, often happens. I look at one current event, politics, religion, sports, and it goes on to something else. And when I make an examination of conscience at night, I have to tell God I'm sorry for not keeping my resolution. So what I've done, when I find myself not denying myself and spending too much time or even at the wrong time sometimes looking at current events on my cell phone, I say, Jesus, Mary, I love thee, save souls, and turn off the cell phone or just stop looking at what I was looking at if it was something of current events. So that's a very powerful prayer, even to motivate yourself to self-denial. We know, of course, that at Fatima, Our Lady also complained and prophesied that there would be many immodest fashions introduced, which gravely offend her son. And this is another area of reparation. Women can make a choice to be strict with themselves in regards to modesty as an act of reparation for the extreme immodesty offending God in our culture and society. And mothers can teach their daughters by example and word to also be not extreme, but to be more strict with themselves in regards to practicing modesty, not just being on the borderline. I recall hearing a story of a young girl, actually, was given a dress for her birthday, and when I went to try it on, looked at it in the mirror, and came back downstairs and said to her parents and those who were there, "I can't wear this. It's immodest." And that was surely the Holy Ghost in her soul that inspired her with discernment to discern this was not pleasing to God. So I would like to end with the exhortation that, first of all, that you take time to read the little leaflet that's on the table outside the chapel door and the other articles that are there as well, and make some resolutions according to your need and perhaps lack of self-denial or generosity in living the message of Fatima, doing penance for your sins, offering reparation for the sins of others, or practicing modesty, or not praying the rosary as often as you should or as frequently as you should, especially in your family. And to take to heart these words on the front of the leaflet on the table, the words of Sister Lucia: "The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will arrive when a sufficient number of people, that is Catholics, have fulfilled the Fatima message." The whole message of Fatima is a remedy for the evils of the 20th and 21st century. And as I said, you and I have a choice to hasten the triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart and world peace and put an end to all these evils that we see and hear about or read about in the news every day. And hopefully each of you will make that resolution and determination to be an apostle of Mary's Immaculate Heart and hasten the fulfillment of our Lady's words at Fatima when she said, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, which will be converted, and a period of peace will be given to the world." Would you please kneel or sit there as I read a closing prayer? Act of consecration to Mary's Immaculate Heart. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth, and tender Mother of Men, in accordance with thy ardent wish, made known at Fatima, I consecrate to thee myself, my brethren, my country, and the whole human race. Reign over us and teach us how to make the heart of Jesus reign and triumph in us and around us. It has reigned and triumphed in thee. Reign over us, dearest Mother, that we may be thine in prosperity and adversity, in joy and in sorrow, in health and in sickness, in life and in death. O most compassionate heart of Mary, Queen of Virgins, watch over our minds and our hearts, and preserve them from the deluge of impurity, which thou didst lament so sorrowfully at Fatima. We want to be pure like thee. We want to atone for the many sins committed against Jesus and thee. We want to call down upon our country and the whole world the peace of God in justice and charity. Therefore, we now promise to imitate thy virtues by the practice of a Christian life without regard to human respect. We resolve to receive Holy Communion on the first Saturday of every month, to offer thee 5 decades of the rosary each day, together with our sacrifices, in the spirit of reparation and penance. Amen.